scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by day, nor sun to shine by day.
From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42, Jesus is giving instructions to his disciples before he sends them out. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Thus ends the reading from Matthew 10. My message this morning is called Welcome. Irish theologian Siobhan Garrigan tells of visiting a Presbyterian church in the north of Ireland and being pleasantly greeted by two women who engaged her in conversation. She realized that these ladies were ushers of some sort as they welcomed more and more guests at the door. However, the greeters' true purpose soon became clear as they asked each visitor's name and guessed their faith and background. You see, the Protestants were warmly welcomed to this Presbyterian church and guided to a seat for worship. The Catholic names, however, the Marias, the Catherines, and the Patricks, were turned away to find a Roman house of worship elsewhere, somewhere they'd be more comfortable. Appalling, we think. We would never do such a thing at St. John's United Church of Christ. No, no, we don't. It's been a long, long time since Grandma married a Catholic boy and threw great-grandmother for a loop. Now, we don't screen at the door, but perhaps we do something a little similar. Do we look for people we have always known to sit and chat with? Do we look someone up and down and guess their education, their age, their occupation, to see if we share common ground? Do we look for clues about whether they are married or single, childless or grandmotherly, straight or gay? Do we privately decide who will fit in our church, amongst our work buddies, our women's club? Who is worth a conversation and who might not be worth our bother? Anthropologists tell us our ancestors lived longer if their children recognized from an early age who was one of them and who belonged to an outside tribe. It was safe for a toddler to grab the leg of an aunt or an uncle or a cousin. It might be dangerous for a child to walk up to a stranger. Today, our screening might have more to do with education, politics, income, and background. And not every question is unwelcoming. Finding like-minded friends can be a joy. Anyone who's ever made a friend standing every day, day after day, waiting for their child to get out of school, knows the fun of sharing that knowing smile. We know what it's like to have a kindergartner. Also, when we study the whole of Matthew's chapter 10, we hear Jesus' instruction begin by telling his students to go to Jewish towns only. It is marvelous that we get to watch Jesus learn, stretch, encounter, and change as he practiced his calling. After enough Samaritan women, Roman centurions, and Syrophoenician mothers, Jesus had his tribal bias, his mission, broken open wide. Just as the anthropologist explained, somewhere deep inside, we perceive a danger in getting too close to a stranger, someone too different, someone outside our experience. Perhaps we explain it away on practical grounds. They won't like it here. They will be more at home in another church, at another table, in a different neighborhood. For heaven's sakes, we don't know how to make them feel at home. We cannot imagine their interests. We doubt we share anything in common. And that discomfort stirs an ancient fear. As the woman at the Samaritan well said to Jesus, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman from Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." That fear, is it really a stranger danger, that fear of being lost in the worst part of a foreign city? What is that anxiety that makes us size up a stranger and head the other way? When my mother was a small child, sometimes there was not enough to eat. If a friend stopped by our house before supper, they were never invited to eat with us. The meal waited, sometimes for hours, until they were gone. Mom never thought there would be enough. Is that the fear that makes us huddle with family, with longtime friends, and those just like ourselves? There might not be enough room in the pew. Pastor won't have time for everyone if we get too many strangers in here. There's not enough room in the pool or the classroom or in God's heart. We forget the kind of God we serve. The God who blesses us with 7 days of goodness for 6 days of work. We forget that the Jews lived that belief of not enough for thousands of years before Jesus arrived to correct it. The chosen people thought the Messiah came just for them and would clobber the Roman army and put the Jews back on top. Instead, Jesus arrived as a wailing baby and toddled into town on a young donkey, not impressive or scary at all. After baby Jesus arrived, that angel in the Gospel of Luke announced, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." No longer just the Jews, no longer the rich, the powerful, no longer just men of certain families, not just the healthy, the strong, the connected. "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." In the United Church of Christ, we are called to share God's extravagant welcome. Not a modest big city greeting, but God's extravagant welcome. How does that welcome feel to you? How does it feel to feel welcomed, to feel greeted? We all can get lost in our upbringings, what our family always did. And truly, with television, the internet, and various groups in which we gather, our lives, our culture, are a blur of mixed messages. So welcome back to the love of God lived out loud in Galilee, Palestine, by a gentle man of the cloth we call Jesus. What did Jesus have to say about doors and hearts and cups of cool water? Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Welcome. What might welcome look like? In all of 2013, the USA took in only 31 Syrian refugees out of the millions waiting. 100 Syrian orphans and their accompanying family escorts have been invited by the president of Uruguay to move into his riverfront summer retreat. It's an open house. Come on, move in. His wife said the invitation is to motivate all nations to reach out for those Syrian refugees. If your home, your town had been bombed to smithereens, what might welcome look like? As the book of Hebrews tells us, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. What did Jesus say? Welcome Jesus, and we welcome the Creator of heaven and earth. When we welcome one who speaks for God, we will be rewarded as if we ourselves were speaking out for God. When we look for the good in every face and invite the best in every family, all families, that good will please the Holy One. Offer a drink of cool water to the poor, the meek, the outcast, the hurting. Offer a drink of cool water to those in need and make our God smile. Your reward will be bountiful. Most of us grew up knowing our families, loving our families, our people, those we know and trust. Jesus did too. Then he stretched those bonds and opened up the pantry. They called him a glutton and a drunkard because he ate and drank with absolutely everybody. Take that love for your own kind, he says, and spread it around. The way you love your family, love everyone. Think of that mother in Ukraine as your cousin. Think of that girl in Nigeria as your niece. Think of that grouchy guy at work as your uncle. Stretch your love, your welcome, your cool cup of water out to all God's children in every nation. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells us, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Sit down with that stranger. Offer a cookie to the one who dresses with a whole box of crayons. Listen and share and hear who they hope to be. Welcome the stranger. Invite them to worship and serve and learn alongside you. Mahatma Gandhi said, the enemy is fear. We think it is hate, but it is fear. This is such a scary new word from Jesus. Can it be good news? If we ponder a bit, we can put ourselves in the stranger's sandals. We can imagine what good news it would be for the lost and lonely to be invited into this house. Welcome to the feast of God Most High. And we might even understand their fears, approaching someone else's building, entering a worship of a God you have sort of a little bit heard about. Surprise! The natives are friendly. The coffee is good. Ah, yes, good news it is. For our guests, of course. For the strangers from that distant tribe. No, in fact, the good news is for us. We can unbolt the door and lay out the feast. Guard duty is over. No longer shall we bear the weight of protecting our sanctuary, blocking the gate. We can sit down to discover delights in our differences. We can encounter parents in such unfamiliar families who love their children as much as we do. We can taste new music, new cuisine, and new images of the divine. We can share the work with the young and the eager. We can pull God's plows with unlikely partners. Understand that Jesus encountered the stranger and took down the barriers to make us the welcome wagon. It was too great a burden to bar the door and hang on to that grim face. We were born to open our arms and lift up our faces, embrace and greet all those children of Yahweh, the great I Am. Jesus said to offer a cup of cool water and know that the reward, the blessing everlasting, is for us, whom he loves. Amen.